What is up, wrestling fans? Welcome to episode number 132 of Smack Talk from SmarkOutMoment.com. I'm your host, as always, Tony Mango, and with me on the panel this evening, so far, we have Mike Payton.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
And Steven Wego.
UDMMA. A
couple other people might be joining us on the mic later on, but we're not sure yet, so I'm not going to introduce them now. What we're going to do today is obviously the mailbag questions that you guys sent in, as I mentioned last week. Our special feature is going to be Call the Spot on the Card for the members of Evolution. And we are going to do a little bit of a rest hold. We're going to do some Fantasy League stuff and the hot tags coming up in part two. And of course, this is part one, so we're going to start this off with the wrestling trivia question of the week, otherwise known as the Ask Him. Last week's question was, I believe, from Mike Payton. What indie promotion did Sheamus, Drew McIntyre, and Wade Barrett all come from?
Sure. Hold on, I'm blowing up Spark Out Moment now. All right, well, getting to all the answers from you awesome fans out there, awesome piano man, I'm going to say CZW just because it sucks like TNA. That is incorrect. Awesome Piano Man also said, oh, and I don't hate Big Show. Do I get an I Got Gameplay t-shirt for that?
Boom, 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 boom.
But let's do give a shout out to Mike McCormick, who did get a correct answer. I believe it was Irish Whip Wrestling or something along those lines. You are correct. It was indeed something along those lines. In fact, it was that line specifically, Irish Whip Wrestling. Congratulations! You get nothing!
Ding, 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 ding.
I'm done.
That's it? The only people that...
That's it, man. Not a lot of people answering. So, hey, if you want to get your name read on this show, all you got to do is leave an answer to the question that's about to be asked in the comments below or tweet it to us. Or, hell, if you want, you could even answer via snail mail. It might be a little late, but, hell, we'll read it.
And guaranteed, if you get it right, you will win nothing. It's awesome.
You see, it just goes to prove, though, that fucking Sheamus and Drew McIntyre can't even draw for the fucking questions.
Alright, well, I have this week's Ask Him for the panel. Obviously, if you guys don't know how this works, we do two questions, one for the panel and one for you guys out there. So, first part here. Which former WWE superstar was almost in the football film Remember the Titans? He turned down a part, but he was cast.
I'm going to say Hulk Hogan.
Nope.
Because that sounds like a story he would tell.
I have no idea how old this film is, so I don't know what to say.
Hulk Hogan would be like, no, this is originally called Remember Hulk Hogan.
Was it Dwayne Johnson?
Nope.
Stone Cold?
Nope. Mark Jindrak.
Who?
He's going to be coming up later on in the Call of the Spot. When we talk about Evolution members. And speaking of him being with a bunch of teammates, he actually was a part of a different stable in the past. So this part is a two-parter question for you guys out there in audience land. What stable was Jindrak a member of in WCW? And who was his tag team partner when he won the WCW Tag Team Championship on two separate occasions? Same guy both times. They both were in the same stable. Note, the name of the stable was inspired by a different movie, not Remember the Titans, but he didn't have a part in that one. So if you guys think you know what the answer is, send a tweet at SmarkOutMoment with the hashtag AskHim. Leave a comment below on YouTube, or leave a comment on the website itself. And next week, if you get it right, you'll win nothing. Woo! We're going to come back in part two with the hot tags. Welcome back. We're on part two of episode 132, and that means it's time for hot tags.
Hot tags.
From Samuel Jones. We have three things that I figured we would talk about this week. Number one, Rosa Mendez is going to join Total Divas Season 3, which also means Total Divas is getting a Season 3. this season hasn't been as good as the first one, and that's kind of a shame. Rose is not going to help it either, but what the hell, at least she's actually doing something. She's doing a hell of a lot more on Total Divas already just by being announced than she is trying to wrestle on Raw and SmackDown and Main Event and all that. So, What the hell? Why not? Drew, what do you think about this?
I know we mentioned it on the Raw post show, but I still think they should have put like an Alicia Fox on there, someone who actually has had relevance in the past with anything in WWE than her. And, you know, they're giving Alicia her semi-awkward, amazing push right now. So, you know, with the WrestleMania thing, you know, it's better than her doing nothing, I suppose. But I'd rather see Alicia Fox in that role than her.
Payton?
I don't want to talk about this. Divas? How is the show on a third season already? Didn't the show start less than a year ago?
I think they're doing, like, half-year seasons and that kind of
They're just trying to, like, bulk up that count. So it's like, all right, Total Divas has made it to its 10th season!
This is the longest-running Total Divas show on E! Network. 200 seasons of the show from 2012 to 2015. Way to go.
Hot tag, huh? This one's fucking blazing. The more the merrier, I guess. Hopefully, if you add enough of them, they'll trample each other.
So wait, did they get rid of anyone, or did they just add her?
I think that they just added her.
Oh.
Well, that's they really should just get rid of Natalya, because she's a fucking bore on that show.
I like Tyson Kidd. He's an asshole.
He's watched pretty... one episode, and I've got no interest. I'd rather just watch Legends House and watch Mean Gene perv on people.
Yeah, well, that is better. That definitely is a better show. If not just for me and Gene doing that. Ashley! Ashley's here! Oh,
look at Ashley. That.
He's such a fucking old bird. I guarantee this next episode that's coming up, the whole, like, save Ashley, he'll just be like, Ashley, I got ya.
I just got done with the balding one and fucking perving on the old ladies, too.
The old stoves.
Yeah.
That should be a new network show instead of Total Divas, just old stoves.
They need to make a show for Mean Gene where he takes like a virgin and takes him out on the fucking town and tries to get him laid. That'd be awesome.
Oh, what the hell, I'd watch it. His sidekick, fucking Pat Patterson the whole time.
Oh,
so you like handling meat, huh?
Did he have another one too? Oh yeah, when they were doing the car wash commercial, he's like, "I'll tell you what, we'll say, come to this car wash. It's got the best hand jobs in town."
Yeah, and then he fucking says it over a terrible one, like, "It's got a great blower." Yeah. Fucking shut up, Pat.
Legacy of the Intercontinental Champions.
And fuck Total Divas.
Right. Tag number two. There is more speculation now that the Nation of Domination is going to return. And that kind of goes along with what we've been joking about, where Rusev only seems to target the black members of the roster for some reason. And man, that would be so fucking funny if that's what this has been building to. We're just joking around, like, why is he only going after R-Truth and Xavier Woods and now Big E and Kofi Kingston and all that? And if, like, there actually was this plan of making a new Nation of Domination, that would just be fucking hilarious. But I highly doubt that'll end up fucking happening. I wish it would, though, because Nation of Domination was pretty awesome. And I actually loved the gang war thing that they used to do. I mean, Los Barriquas and DOA, they sucked, but at the same time, it was still a cool concept. So... hey, if they want to do it, why not? It's not like any of these people are actually doing anything. What's Big E got anything going for him? No. Fucking Kofi Kingston? No. R-Truth? No. Xavier Woods? Fuck, he never had anything going for him other than the fact that he's going for the whole PhD thing. Without that, they would have nothing to ever talk about. So, hey, if they do Nation of Domination, cool. If they don't, saw that coming. Drew?
Gang Warfare, 3MB, and Nation of Domination. Sounds like a winning title right there.
Maybe they'll just stick with the Union Jacks.
Or, you know, if they stick with the Union Jacks, I think it'd be fine. Otherwise, just the 3MB just looks like a bunch of racist fucks from the South. That's all. I mean, hey, it works.
That's what I think when I look at Jinder and Drew. Hey, and
well, Heath plays the role perfectly. He just make him a racist, make this thing a lot more interesting. Fuck PG.
Payton?
Well, if they're going to do this, they got to go all out with it. Like, Xavier Woods, he's going for his PhD, so maybe you got to change his name so he could be, like, Woodsy X. Yeah, like Malcolm X. And if they're really going to do this, they got to bring in their own version of Clarence Mason, David Otunga.
Did it? I was thinking of that. It's perfect.
That would be good. Yeah, Otunga's not doing anything else.
That's all I got.
Malcolm Xavier Woods. I could dig it. There you go.
Guessing that some fucking shit dirt sheet like WrestleZone broke the story because it sounds fucking ridiculous, but
it's all too convenient timing, right?
If it's true, and I don't think it is, I'm okay with it just because these guys have nothing going for them, so the worst that can happen is they realize it's a terrible idea and they do what they was doing before. And there's a lot of guys there that might actually work better as a heel who we haven't had a chance to see in that role yet. So, yeah, neat idea. Kind of. And I'm okay if it happens.
All right, the big hot tag here, the big story everybody's talking about this week, WWE stock problems and the whole shit where McMahon lost a third of his fortune. Now, I don't follow this stuff. I don't know jack shit when it comes to stocks and bonds and fucking rates and up and down and Dow Jones and all—it's all just complete fucking nonsense to me. So there's no way that I can claim to be like, well, you know, if they just did this and did that, I don't know that crap. So that's all just jargon. But man, if they took that much of a downturn, that really sucks. And I don't know what they're gonna end up doing to try to balance that out, but hey, if they need to make back $350 million, why not start off with just releasing some of the people that really suck? The JTGs, the, I don't even want to admit it because I kind of like the guy, but somebody even like a Justin Gabriel or something like that, if they are tied up in any kind of like
big contracts. Get rid of Tony Atlas.
They can't get rid of JTG if they bring back the Nation of Domination.
Well, he probably wouldn't even be in that position. They would just be like, all right, this is tailor-made for any black member of the roster. JTG's just like, finally. And they're like, you're fucking still here?
Fuck, oh, dude, we didn't know you was under contract. Yeah, we didn't realize you was under contract. You're fired.
Have you been hiding out as the fucking bunny that comes out with Adam Rose this whole time? I don't know what's going to end up happening when it comes to all these bad problems with the stocks and a lot of other kind of stuff, but something obviously has to change. They can't just keep doing what they're doing. And hopefully that's not going to be something negative where they decide that they need to do a bunch of stupid gimmicks again, like they did with the McMahon's Millions and the fucking the special guest host every goddamn week and all that. I hate that stuff. So whatever the case is, I hope that things stay the course, because I actually think that WWE's been pretty entertaining overall lately. So I don't know what's going to happen, but Drew, what do you think?
Well, I think they did mention that they knew they were going to take a loss because of the network being launched. You know, I think that was expected. But 350 mil?
I think so.
That's a lot of money for a wrestling company to lose in a very short period of time. I don't know what happened. But like you said, to me, WWE's been doing really well recently. So I don't know what the issue was. Maybe it's just like all the stupid shows that they keep on coming up with for fucking the network that I have no clue, but there's probably 100 shows now. But, you know, they need to, you know, they better watch your shit before TNA becomes the number one company and buys them out. And they last longer than WWE. Who would have thought? We said like at 85 they'd be gone, and then like they're the only company left because WWE runs out of business. If something like that happens, I think it's best to say we join Steven in the UFC moment.
Peyton?
I think this is being touted by a lot of people who really have no idea what the hell they're talking about. Not saying that I do, but your average wrestling fan, I don't think, knows jack shit about the stock market or how the stock market works. Yes, this was a terrible day, and it sucks they lost all this money, but they were also on the rise for the majority of the last couple of years. WWE stock overall is still at a decent price, and they're going to recover pretty easily. This isn't something where they need to scramble. It's going to be a blemish on their record more than anything. It may hurt their pride in some future deals, but I don't think they're going to be in any danger of falling down and being a bit going out of business or anything along those lines. They still have a lot of money coming in. If I recall, they were expecting about a year or two ago to have massive losses, and this is unfortunately as part of those massive losses that they're going to have to get and on the way to getting whatever their finished goal is with all these new projects and all these new things they have going on. So I think if they stick with it, they'll be fine. I think they definitely need to take this as a lesson. I mean, the main reason for this is because of the contract they got with NBC was not as lucrative as they were hoping it would be. So a lot of the shareholders freak out. They're like, selling, because numbers are all that matters. Fuck. So I wouldn't look too far into this.
Way to go.
Yeah, this all comes from them making so many promises and not delivering on it. The stock was at an all-time high in company history, and when you're at that high, generally there's only one place to go, and that's down. So first off, they take the hit because they overpromised on the network. 560,000 subscribers is a fantastic number to do in the space of a month and a half, but they promised a million. Then after that, they released the news that to break even, they actually need a million, like, what, 1.4 million? So they let out, again, another false promise on that. And with this contract for the NBC, they promised that they was potentially going to double or triple the amount of money they was making on it. Well, they didn't deliver on that either. So at some point, be it the first... at some point, be it the first or second promise, and now the third one, they lost faith with the stock, with Wall Street, and now they're paying the price for it. The stock's going to go back up eventually, and things will smooth out, but for now, they're going to take a big hit. And Vince losing $350 million is a lovely headline for the news, so they're going to put it out there as much as they can. So, guys, there's a lot of people panicking on the internet, but it'll smooth out.
It seems like they've been in worse spots before. And the people that are definitely. Like, oh, this is guaranteed, this is the end of WWE and stuff, it's like, all right, settle down. If he loses, you know, three quarters of his fucking fortune and people start jumping ship and going other places and stuff, then start panicking. But, you know, right now it just seems like one really shitty day.
Yeah, fucking Ken Jones showed us.
So, tell us what you guys think about these stories in the comments below. We're going to take a little bit of a break in the rest hold, and we're going to come back with the mailbag questions of the week. We're at the midway point of this episode of Smack Talk, so that means it's time for us to take a little bit of a break with the rest hold part of the program, which we use the downtime for to promote some stuff going on with A Mango Tree and Smark Out Moment in general, including the Bleacher Report card. If you want to know what I wrote for Bleacher Report this week, there is one article. Rusev lacks the depth needed to succeed long-term in WWE. Yes, I do not think Rusev is going to end up amounting to all that much. And if you want to know why, then you can check it out by going to any of the links that you can find on Facebook, Twitter, the YouTube description down below if you're watching this on YouTube. Or you can always go to the homepage of smarkoutmoment.com, and there is a little subcategory of it about three quarters of the way through the page that says Bleacher Report Card, which is always updated with the four most recent posts that I've written. Next up is Smark My Words, where I showcase one of the comments that you guys left on the YouTube channel this week that I found interesting in some kind of a way, whether it was funny or really insightful or very odd. Doesn't matter. This week, I decided to give it to the username First, who left the comment First, and has a profile picture of First. Talk about committing to a gimmick. Leave those comments, guys. Next week, we'll see if maybe somebody has more to say. But that was pretty interesting, so I figured I would just make that a first and do it that way. If you want to show your support for the website and Smack Talk, keep in mind about the Sign Me Up initiative. If you bring a sign that says smarkoutmoment.com to any kind of a wrestling event, which company it is, what show it is, none of that stuff really matters. But send a picture or a video of it to me, and I will feature it not only on the next episode of Smack Talk, but also on the website under Internet Wrestling Community Outreach. Another little homepage category there. For the geeks out there, like myself, who want to know what we think about topics other than wrestling, including movies, comic books, and video games, and everything else in nerd culture, go to my other website, fanboysanonymous.com. You can also subscribe to iTunes, Stitcher, and youtube.com/fanboysanon, A-N-O-N, for our podcast and show material, just like we have here on Smack Talk. Last week, in honor of the new Godzilla movie, Chris Dace hosted an episode of the For Real Movie Club, where the panel discussed monster movies. such as Cloverfield, Pacific Rim, and the 1998 Godzilla with Matthew Broderick. Trainwreck. We also just debuted a brand new show, Fan Tracks, where you can follow along with a movie or TV show that we provide audio commentary for you to listen to while that's playing. The first episode was in honor of the upcoming X-Men Days of Future Past movie, so we did the two episodes of the 1990s animated X-Men series that revolved around the Days of Future Past storyline. We're also going to be doing a Review Point, which is another new podcast, for X-Men Days of Future Past coming up real soon. So go check those out on YouTube, iTunes, and Stitcher, and stay tuned to everything else that's coming your way with Fanboys Anonymous. And if you want to join the SmartGout Moment team in some kind of a fashion as a writer or editor, there are always positions to fill. Can never have too many people on a team. So if you want to do that, send in an application using the contact form that you would have done for the mailbag questions, which we're going to do over the next part, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible with more information about what you need in order to write for the website. Speaking of mailbag stuff, that's what we're going to do. Break time's over with. Let's start answering the questions that you guys sent in. Welcome back, everybody. We are on part 4 of episode 132. And for this month's mailbag, we have 3 questions, 2 sent in from Awesome Piano Man and 1 from Joshua Ellis. Number 1 from Awesome Piano Man. I'm tired of assuming, so I might as well ask the question most of us are all wondering and hope that it isn't offensive. Is Drew on something before episodes, or is he just high on life? Drew, what's the answer?
The answer is, no, I do not do drugs. I am not straight edge. I am usually just fucking apeshit crazy.
I thought you were, like, about to sing or something. You said that
off. I don't know what I was going for, because I haven't looked at the questions, so I'm a little bit off. Like, whoa, did not expect that coming. But,
He's on his bad, mate.
I think Monday I was on painkillers because of my fractured foot. But besides for that, I'm usually just, you know, very hyper. I don't have ADHD. I'm just hyper, I guess. I think that's a question everyone wanted to know, and now that's off the table. Nice seeing you. Thanks for asking.
Question number 2 from Awesome Piano Man. With the addition of Time Cow, would there be any more animal-related characters on the show, like Updog? Tow Truck Pig. And we have the one question from Joshua Ellis, who really upped the ante from last time around. If I'm remembering correctly with the vomit question. What were you guys doing Friday and Saturday night between the hours of 6 p.m. and 1 a.m.? Slaying or sleeping? I'm kind of getting the feeling that you were watching and you know. But working on shit because I don't sleep. What were you guys up to?
This past Friday and Saturday?
I was at work.
I was fucking sick. I was just laying on my ass going, fuck my life.
Yeah, I don't remember, dude. That was like almost a week ago.
Now the next question for the mailbag is, paid it on something? All right, guys, thank you for sending in your mailbag questions as always. We're going to do another one of these next month, so start thinking of those questions that you'll be asking. We're going to roll along here. The main event of this evening is going to be Call the Spot, Evolution, in the next part. All right, guys, time for the main event of this episode, Call the Spot on the card. And if you've never watched the first edition that we did for this, I'll give you a little breakdown here. This is kind of like the Marry, Fuck, Kill game, if you're used to that game. And if you're not, I'll break it down even more then. There are 5 people on this list, and we need to position them into 5 different categories. There's, in order of importance, main event, upper mid-card, jobber, and then finally the lowest one is that you actually release the person. And each one of the 5 people on this list has to go in one of those spots. You can't double up on anything. So it means no matter how hard it is, if you can't figure out, you know, you don't want to release anybody, too bad, you have to. If everybody sucks and you really don't think any of them deserve the main event, too bad, one of them's got to do it. So you can't leave anyone open, you can't just skip anybody. That's the whole point of the game. Since Evolution and S.H.I.E.L.D. are pretty much the biggest focal points going on right now, we're going to do this based off of Evolution. And that means that we have the five people for this edition are Batista, Mark Jindrak, who was originally going to be the position that Batista ended up filling, Randy Orton, Ric Flair, and Triple H. So those are the five people that you got to put in those five categories. So I think the easiest way to go around here is to go lowest to highest and go around in a circle here. Release. I'm going to release Mark Jindrak because he wasn't even good enough to be a part of Evolution, so why does he deserve to be anything else here? That's pretty simple. Drew, who's getting released?
Ric Flair, because he's a fucking drunk and he can't make it to the ring.
That was kind of brutal.
Yeah, why don't you just go, hey, Ernie's kid's dead.
His kid's dead.
So you're going with Ric Flair?
Yes, I swear to God, I'm going for Ric Flair. All
right. Peyton, who are you releasing?
I actually would go with Ric Flair as well.
For same reasons?
There's just no reason to have an old fart around unless you're putting him in the Legends house, which is not wrestling.
Yeah, true. And he's a drunk.
Way to go.
Jindrak, I couldn't give a fuck about the guy. He's never done anything remotely entertaining for me.
So that brings us to Jobber. And that one is going to go with Ric Flair for me. I'm kind of going under the assumption here that we're not doing the best in their prime kind of a thing, that we're just doing what they're doing now. So that's kind of where Ric Flair goes. I actually kind of like your suggestions about releasing him instead. So in retrospect, I should have gone with that. But hey, I did this ahead of time, so I ended up going with Ric Flair for my jobber. Drew, who's your jobber?
Triple H.
Really?
Yeah, because he, you know how he's like that, been that guy that's been like, bury him, fucking get the shovel out. Yeah, it's his turn to fucking get that shovel. He's getting that shovel work now. He's getting that burial by Jindrak. That's what's up.
Peyton, jobber.
My jobber would be Mark Jindrak, the reflection of perfection he is not.
That was the name that he used? I don't even remember that.
Yeah, for WWE a brief period of time. When they actually like gave him somewhat of a push, they called him the Reflection of Perfection.
I'm a reflection of perfection. Wago, who's your jobber?
My jobber is the Nature Boy Ric Flair. And the reason I did that is because Ric Flair is still a household name, no matter what fucking age he is. And him jobbing out to some of the younger talent is a fantastic move. It gives them a notch in their belt to say, hey, I beat the 16-time world champion.
Yeah, if you could fucking make it down there ring without falling over.
We're bleeding.
Hey, they don't film Hogan when he actually goes for the ropes. They can just do the same with Flair.
Now we're in the middle of it, mid-card. This doesn't necessarily mean that you're a mid-card champion or anything like that, but you basically float around the middle and you can go up and down, you know, kind of fill a spot like a Kofi Kingston would. Giving that to Randy Orton, and that's kind of tough because Randy Orton could be an upper mid-carder or a main event person as well, but I think there's bigger fish to fry, and I think that Orton does really well in the mid-card kind of spot. And another thing that's kind of hindering him here, if you look at Evolution in the past, even though he did win a world championship when he was pretty young and he was a part of Evolution and all that, you can tell that he was still the mid-carder of the bunch. So that's kind of hurting him here for me. Randy Orton's my mid-carder. Drew, who's your mid-carder?
I'm gonna go with Jindrak because he's a reflection of perfection, and someone's gotta bury Triple H.
Peyton,
my mid-carder would also be Orton. That guy is dreadfully overrated. You know, maybe the guy could have achieved a main event run once in his career. But he should not be, what is he, like an 11-time champion now?
I think he's at least 9.
I thought it was like a 13-time.
It's some ridiculously high number. It's just absurd. He's not that good.
You know what's
good? He's very good, but he's not that good.
Just think about it. He almost has as many world champions as Cena does.
Mm-hmm. He's a guy who would be a perfect Intercontinental Champion to give prestige to that, to go out there and have badass matches and good feuds with lots of people. But I can't see him being a long-term main eventer. But that's just me.
There you go.
I'll be interested in hearing your guys' thoughts on how you can put Batista higher than him, because Batista's my mid-carder, and just for the reason, whilst he's really not that good, and whilst I see more value in him than a Flair and a Jindrak, I just don't see what he can really do on a main event level. He's awful in the ring. He's had some good matches, but it's with guys that are pretty much carrying the load for him. People like to point out the Undertaker match is a fantastic match. Well, yeah, Taker carried him.
Undertaker wasn't known for having amazing WrestleMania matches at that point. Batista played a big part in that as well.
Yeah, I think he got carried for that match. And his workload and work rate as a whole, it's just lackluster. And every time that I've seen him in a main event position, other than his last heel run with John Cena, it's been fucking dreadful. So Batista is a mid-carder for me, and nothing more.
Batista is pyro.
Yeah, we fucking know, Drew.
See, the reason I gave Batista my upper mid-card spot, a lot of it actually has to do with just the way that he looks. And, I mean, that does play a part in WWE, I think.
Looks a lot skinnier now, though.
Yeah, but he still looks pretty impressive. I mean, if you saw that guy getting beaten up by some other mid-carders, it would look a little bit weird, and I would believe it more with Randy Orton. Plus, I also kind of think that the upper mid-card spot is something that can have a little bit of leeway. You can be a jobber to the stars, and you can beat up mid-card people, and you can lose the mid-card people still. Randy Orton could be, like, the king of the mid-card, kind of. And I can't see Batista really filling that kind of a spot. The mid card really is sort of dependent upon putting on really good matches. In the upper mid card, they can just be a part of more like standard feuds and stuff. And Batista isn't well known for those kind of matches and stuff. So when you put him in the upper mid card, you give him a spot to have an actual feud where it depends on stuff more than his in-ring work. And that kind of lessens the blow a little bit. Clearly, he's not good enough for main event, and, you know, I'm spoiling, obviously, who my main eventer is, but that is why I gave Batista my upper mid-card spot. Drew?
I gave mine to Randy Orton, and the reason why is because, you know, he's not, like everyone said, he's not really particularly amazing in anything, but he's pretty good at the stuff he can do. I mean, you know, when I got back into wrestling in, like, 2010, 2011, you know, 2012 especially, you know, he kind of played that upper mid-card face role where he just, you know, they just put him in the feuds, like, you know, World Heavyweight Championship matches, you know, and, like, you know, feuds that, you know, to help put other guys kind of over, even though he didn't really do it. But, you know, I think he excelled pretty well in that role despite the fact that he did nothing. So, to me, I think he's a perfect guy to put in the upper mid-card role. He could go out and have a good match. And he's Randy Orton. He's a legend killer. And, yeah.
Peyton?
Well, my upper mid-card is also Batista, and I'm pretty much going to be following everything that you said, Tony, but also adding to that, I would also want to add that Batista, more so than Randy Orton, who is more a wrestler, and yes, that's what Randy Orton's very good at. He's good at being a wrestler. Batista is a star. Batista just has star power written all over him. He's got the chiseled look. He looks larger than life. He acts larger than life. He's got this attitude of being larger than life. He's a movie star. He's got a lot more clout than Randy Orton, who, yeah, I'm the son of the guy who wore a cast on his arm.
Got that hat, though.
That sounds super impressive when you put it that way.
Batista has so much intensity, and it just matches with everything he has, with his music, his pyro. That's just such an awesome character. And it was the guy who rivaled Cena through those 2006-2007 years where Cena was on his highest game. So I think that has a lot to say. I mean, he's basically the ultimate warrior to John Cena's Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't even think about it that way. He really would be the ultimate warrior.
I'd agree to a degree, but I think he fizzled out a lot.
He did. I don't think he has necessarily all the tools, once again, to be a full-time main event player. I think he's a guy you could, you know, jut in there every once in a while, because I have liked some of the main event things he's done. I liked his work with Cena. I liked his work with The Undertaker. I liked his work with Kali.
It's like, crap, who else?
After that John Cena Undertaker feud, it's kind of hard to fit him in anywhere.
Yes, he's had good matches with Mysterio when they were both on SmackDown.
That's right. He did have some good matches. Basketballs don't hold grudges. I know I've seen other things, but I know I've seen a lot of things where I'm like, oh, God, Batista, just go away. Him being away for a number of years has certainly helped. And I've liked his character since he's come back. I know a lot of people have been shitting on him, but I've enjoyed him. I've enjoyed his mic work. I've enjoyed his – that's one thing I got to give Batista props on. He's one of my favorite kind of wrestlers who cut one of my favorite kind of wrestling promo guys where they just – you never know what ridiculous thing might come out of their mouth. You know, he's in that same league as like a Psycho Sid or a Scott Steiner.
So what you're saying him is he's not just welcomed, he's allowed.
Yes, exactly.
Do you like his beard, though?
I love his beard.
He needs to fucking shave his head, though. He's got a big bold spot.
I think whenever they show those graphics...
He's got more hair in his face than his head.
Whenever they show those graphics of, you know, like, the match coming up later on tonight is Seth Rollins versus Batista or something like that, it doesn't look like he's got a beard. It looks like he just smeared chocolate all over his face.
Yo, but for real talk... Some of those tattoos gotta go. Those are really costing some man points when you got like those big stars on your tit.
And the belly button.
But also what he's done to his back now. He used to actually have tattoos where you could go, oh, I can see what that is. I can see what that is. You can't see shit anymore.
Yeah, it just is a black fucking splotch on his back now.
Yeah, he's just got like one big splotch and a whole bunch of lines. I'm like, what the fuck did you do to yourself, you daft twat?
Tattoos.
Skinny pants. Those white pants, though.
Yeah, main eventers don't rip their jeans.
Alright, so Wago, who is your upper mid-carder?
Triple H, and a lot to do with that is just, I think he's lost his appeal as a main eventer now. Doesn't do much for me anymore, and this is coming from a guy who, when we was watching wrestling, when Shawn was out, Triple H was his favorite wrestler, so I think I'm just worn out on him, where I think it's overkill at this point. His match with like CM Punk, that was so mediocre, and his match with Brock was mediocre. He had a great match with Daniel Bryan, but for the most part, he's just not a main event level guy anymore, and he's better putting over main event talent and being a jobber to the stars at an upper mid-card level. Kind of how I said Ric Flair would be a good jobber.
All right, so that brings us to the top spot here, main eventer. I'm going, obviously, with Triple H here. He's a main event guy. He is somebody who fulfills the spot of looking the part. He has had good matches. He's, you know, been a multiple time world champion. He's got the credibility behind him. And even though I disagree with how he has gotten a lot of that credibility, he still has it. And he could win a world title at any time, and I wouldn't look at it as bullshit. I might not like it, but I wouldn't question it. It wouldn't be a situation where, you know, when TNA puts fucking Eric Young in the championship and you're like, oh, give me a fucking break. This dude was a jackass before. And if WWE were to do that with somebody like a Santino, you give him the WWE world title, it's going to look stupid. You give it to Triple H, I might be annoyed and I might want him to lose it immediately or something like that. But I'm not going to go, oh, fuck, Triple H out of all people? How does he get a chance at a title? You know, so even though he was the now... of Evolution before, I think he kind of still is. And I think that his match with Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania ended up proving that. Drew, main event?
My main eventer was Batista, and it still is. I picked Batista because, you know, like Peyton said, when it came to the upper mid-card role, he has, like, that star power. Like you said, he started in movies. You know, he has that look of a main eventer. I mean, he was, like, you know, the counterpart of John Cena for a number of years back in, like, the mid to late 2000s. And, you know, I don't know. I've always had a soft spot for Batista. You know, kind of like Steven kind of said, you know, when Shawn left, you know, he had Triple H. I don't know why. I've just always liked Batista. And, you know, I think as much as we all hated the idea of him winning the championship when he came back, you know, if he were to win the championship now, I wouldn't complain. I think he does need to get the championship before he leaves again, but like indefinitely for a long time. So, yeah, and also he has great music, and he has pyro, and that's why he is the superstar and the main eventer.
Peyton?
My main eventer is going to be Triple H. This guy has still got it. He is one of the greatest of all time, and I will argue that to the death. I'm not going to say the greatest, But top 10, absolutely. And a personal favorite of mine, he's definitely the guy who filled that spot for Sean, just has been said here. He took that role of being that sort of bad boy, but also still really clean in the ring and all that other thing. Few people have had the crispness that Triple H has had when he was in his prime. And yeah, he's, I would say, at least the tail end of his prime, but he can still have some kick-ass matches. And that one with Daniel Bryan and these recent things he's been doing with Evolution proves that. This guy has still got it so damn good. It's a shame that he can't wrestle more, I would say. And I think the only reason he doesn't is because he's so overwhelmed with all these business things, which the reason he got that, yeah, okay, he married the daughter, but because he understands this business, he gets it. He knows everything about it in and out, and that's why Vince liked him before he even got with Stephanie, and then he gave him the blessing, and now he's cool with him taking over the company someday. So Triple H would absolutely have to be the main eventer in this situation.
You know what the thing about Triple H is that, you know, like, I'm surprised he's wrestling right now as much as he is and appearing on Raw, despite all this, the business stuff he has to do. He's regularly on Raw every week now for the past year now. Surprised me.
I think one of the biggest pats on the back you have to give to Triple H is the fact that he can still go after so many years after having two quad tears. I mean, that's fucking insane.
Which did slow him down a lot, but he was still very good because, you know, he still understood timing. He still understood a lot of those things. But, man, if you go back and watch some of his matches from, like, 1997, 1998, 1999, that guy busts his ass.
Yep. Hard worker, one of the biggest hard workers, but he doesn't get the credit because of Stephanie, so it's a shame.
So, Wago, who's your main eventer?
I struggled between Triple H and Randy Orton, but I went with Randy Orton. For currently, right now, he's just, I say he's the best in the ring out of all of them. He's got a better look than all of them. One of the biggest points that people are bringing up is how great Batista looks. I think he looks like shit now. He's slimmed down. Randy Orton looks bigger than him. Triple H looks bigger than him. I just don't, when I have to compare all five guys, Randy Orton just seems the most born and bred for the main event scene. And when he's given something to work with, a decent storyline, he's fantastic. Unfortunately, you can't turn a chicken salad out of chicken shit. So, in the end, I choose Randy Orton as my main eventer, and I think he can go in the ring with anyone. There's not anyone on the roster where I go, ugh, I don't want to pair him up with Randy Orton because I don't think it'll be a good match.
Or no, Greg Colley.
Greg Colley isn't even on the roster anymore.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. I'm pretty damn tired of John Cena, Randy Orton. They face each other like 300 times.
Oh, here's the thing.
None of those matches were good.
I wouldn't say their matches are bad. I think it's just the fact that we've seen it that many times that we're tired of it and we don't give it a chance.
Yeah.
Well, every time we hear John Cena versus Randy Orton, we switch off. And that's just repetitive, boring booking. As I said, you can't turn chicken salad into chicken shit. Sorry, chicken shit into chicken salad.
Oh, God. You can turn chicken salad into chicken shit.
I was pretty sure everybody does.
Hey, I shit the best. We already established this. So yeah, Randy Orton, I think he's born and bred for it, and he can work with anyone.
So this is a totally unintentional transition, but speaking of shits and giggles, why don't we just try to figure this out?
He's giggles.
Why don't we figure this out real quick? We don't need to really do a full rundown, but if we were to talk about people in their prime, that makes Ric Flair hell of a lot higher up on the list. He would not be higher than maybe the upper mid card for me, though. Still, I still think I would go with Triple H for the main event, and I don't know, but I think that would end up actually reversing my Batista thing, and I'd end up making him the jobber.
I would definitely bring Flair up higher, but I don't think I could put him higher than the mid card. Flair's another guy who I think has been horribly overrated.
Yeah, man. If we're talking about people in their prime, I think Mark Jindrak would be the fucking main eventer.
Now, in their prime, Triple H blows all these guys out of the water.
I will agree with you with that one. Triple H is fucking the man.
Well, if we're talking in prime, it goes like this for me. Triple H, Ric Flair, Randy Orton, Batista, Jindrak.
I think that's pretty much the list that I would have.
Yeah, as I mentioned, I was talking about guys right now in the business. Triple H blows every one of them out the water. When you're talking about 1999, guy was on fucking fire.
So tell us what you guys would end up putting for the list. And you know what? Why not do it for both of them, whether or not they're in their prime or what they're doing right now. Leave those below on YouTube Or if you don't want to post that on YouTube, go to smartcoutmoment.com, leave a comment on the post that's up for that, and tell us what you guys think. And if you have any suggestions for another Call the Spot in the future, then leave them too. We almost did Nation of Domination this week, and you know, maybe we'll come back to that another time, do Call the Spot with those people. Who knows? We have one last thing to take care of for this episode, coming up in the next part, Fantasy League Trades and Updates. Time to do some Fantasy League stuff here, so I'm going to pass this over to Mr. Payden.
All right, well, we are quickly approaching Payback, the second pay-per-view where we'll be getting points for this, and things are still looking pretty damn good, though things have remained largely unchanged over the last couple weeks. In last place, Mr. Steven Huego has pulled himself out of negative number hell. He now has 29 points. That's boss, dude. Congratulations.
Hey, I'm moving up there. You guys are going to get fucked, and John Cena is going to get me all these points.
Okay. Well, in fifth place is Mr. Miguel Leon. Could not be here, but team best for business, currently sitting there with 89 points. In fourth place, Tony Mango's Tony's Tyke, 116 points. Not much terrible going on day for them this week. Too bad Dolph Ziggler was not able to pull out that number one contendership.
If only he could just roll over a little bit.
Don't worry, I'm sure Daniel Bryan will be scoring you some big points these next couple of months.
Third place, Mr. Sean Walker's Team Homeless with 125 points. In second place, Drew White's The Drew Crew with 162 points. And in first place, myself with 205 points.
Ooh.
Yeah. Pretty good for me so far. So the other bit of business we always like to take care of here is trades. So let's run down the waiver wire here. Person who's in first actually for it is Miguel Leon, who was unfortunately not here tonight, and he hasn't said anything to me, so I can only assume he has no interest in any trades, which actually brings it to me. And now I got a little interesting thing that I've been heavily considering. I'm going to take a chance, and if this pays off, it just might clinch me the season. But might end up not working out at all. But we'll see. Taking that chance, I'm going to be dropping Lana, who, yes, I still love her luscious legs and ass, and she looks great, and I wish her all the best with her run with Rusev.
She's not a potato.
She's not a potato at all. Dropping Lana, and I'm going to take CM Punk.
Unless he gets released, like, announced on the C-Scoops.
Any particular reason why?
Well, we might return at Payback.
You think it's going to happen at Payback?
I have no fucking clue, but that's been the big rumor ever since he fucking left. So if it happens, awesome, especially now with this whole Daniel Bryan situation happening. They're going to want someone that's a big star. So I think all the stars are there, but I don't know. I'm not going to claim to have any insider knowledge or any special thing going on with this. It's not like Lana's doing anything too special, so hey, why the hell not? Let's see what happens. Better me than you guys.
Hey, Payton, remember, Punk posted on Twitter this week. Oh, he's returning.
Punk posted on Twitter. There's these pictures coming out of him in the gym and shit. It's all adding up.
Wait, he's not fat anymore?
No, he's still fat as shit.
I told you guys the greatest work of all time, but no, don't listen to him. And when you win the fucking league, because of my brilliant prediction.
Is he skinny fat?
Skinny fat ass.
All right, well, next on the list is Mr. Drew White. Drew, you got any trades you want to make?
I was thinking about dropping the big guy, but I think I'm going to stay put for now.
Who's staying there? The big guy.
Yeah.
Well, it's the big guy.
So that brings us to Tony.
And his types.
Man, I really want to draw people, but nobody. Hey, that's
Dave, you
can
drop Brian if you want to.
Hey, you
want to
drop Brian?
Yeah. Nah. I'll trade you CM Punk for Daniel Bryan.
Nope.
Okay.
Nobody good enough to pick up.
Okay, well, that brings us to Wago. Wago, I believe you got some business you want to take care of.
I'm going to drop the Big Show just because he's not doing enough.
He's still having a gun with him.
I'll pick up Lana.
Oh, all right.
well, Lana not sitting on the sidelines for too long. That actually would bring us to Mr. Sean Walker, who is also not here this evening. So we'll just do another round around. Miguelia, not here. Drew, you want to pick up any of the people who are available?
Maybe I could add another big guy to the team, but nah. Drew Crew's going to stay the same.
All right. Tony?
Nope, staying the same.
And Wago, we'll just go to you.
I'm struggling. I'm weighing up the options of getting rid of RVD because I know he's going to lose to Wade Barrett, but at the same time, I think he generally does well on Raw, so I'll take a pay-per-view loss and... I'll take the pay-per-view loss. It's fine.
Sure. Well, you still got another week, so if you change your mind, it'll be available.
Yep.
All right, well, then that concludes all business this week for the Fantasy League. If you want to get the most up-to-minute news, be sure to stay tuned on KeepingKayfabe.com or the official Keeping Kayfabe Facebook page, where I'll be posting updates as often as I can. I'm a little bit behind right now, but they will be there. And all the other things we got there, if you want to read up on the rules, check out what the rosters look like, it's all there. Have fun.
All right, guys, plug time. You're up first, Drew.
Oh, man. Oh, I don't know what to say. But, you know, if you're interested in sports on Thursday nights at 9 o'clock, there's a show on the Mega Powers Radio Network called Sports Talk Weekly, where Chris Jester, a man who has been on the show before, and some of his pals and me on occasion. I will not be on this Thursday because I have graduation plans I need to take care of.
We're actually doing the show on Friday this week, Drew.
Oh, we're doing it on Friday. Oh, man, fuck, dude. Now I could probably do it. Who would have thought? I didn't know that. The more you know, shooting star. But, yeah, I got apparently Friday's still 9 o'clock?
Yes.
All right, Friday at 9 o'clock now. Fuck, dude.
There.
Fuck, dude. No, man, I don't have an excuse. Okay, well then. If I'm there, I'm there. If I'm not there, you know?
I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to the audience. I want them to be there. I don't give a shit about you.
Well, then, fuck me. You're going to be like this.
Well, listen, Chris... Well, Chris Jester is the white man's version of Stephen Wago. So if you want to see a piss poor version of Stephen Wago, be sure to listen to Sports Talk Weekly this Friday at 9 o'clock.
If Chris Jester's the white man's version, what is Wago?
Yeah, like the what's my core audience?
To the Drew white man's?
Ooh, yeah.
So are you
the big
here?
Guy. No, he's the big guy.
The big guy.
But in all seriousness, you know, just if you want to interest in the sports, be sure to tune in this Friday at 9 o'clock. Be sure to talk about a lot of sports that you will enjoy. That's all I got, Mango. Back to you,
Peyton.
Well, if you enjoyed this show, please stay tuned to the other great wrestling content that I am going to be bringing you, such as the Raw Post Show on Monday nights, where you can hear myself and all these other gentlemen, whoever the heck else feels like joining us on Mega Powers Radio for our Raw Post Show. We're going to have phone lines open. We're going to have the chat room scrolling. It's lots of fun for everybody. And it doesn't sound like fun the way I'm saying it, but I promise it is. It's just midnight here, and terribly, terribly drained. So please join us on Mondays, where I'm more excited and more fun, and you'll have fun. And I'll say fun one more time. Fun!
Way go.
All right. So this Saturday, May 24th, we've got UFC 173 headlined by Henan Barao versus TJ Dillashaw. The co-main event's going to be Daniel Cormier versus Dan Henderson. It's going to be a stacked fight card, and we're going to be covering it all over on UDMMA.com. You can follow us at Twitter on @UDMMA, Facebook.com/UDMMA. Also, check out Addicted to Anime on the following Sunday. That's going to be on the 25th, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, over on Mega Powers Radio. And, yeah, it's going to be a hell of a lot of fun. We're going to be reviewing Tenjo Tenge. It's an anime with boobs, violence, and everyone loves boobs and violence. You can find us on Facebook.com/AddictedAnimeFans. And until then, see you next time.
All right, guys, that's going to do us in for episode 132. Pay attention to everything that we got coming your way with all the other Mango Tree stuff that we mentioned in the rest hold and everything that everybody mentioned here as well. Go to smarkoutmoment.com for whatever stuff that we're posting throughout this week. The TV coverage, the pay-per-view coverage that'll be coming up. I'm always updating those predictions whenever anything comes my way. And we'll also have all the other editorials and everything like that. Cheap pop of the week, cheap heat of the week. We got a new Five Moves of Doom up with Bret the Hitman Hart, etc., etc., etc. For everybody on the panel this evening, thank you guys for listening in. I'm Tony Mango. This has been another Smark Out moment, and we're being counted out. This is the outro of Domination. Outro of Domination. This is the outro by Mango No Other. Don't diss me, man, or I'll smack talk your mother. Listen what I'm saying, RVD. I'm hating, because I am the man. Leave a comment or rating. Outro of Domination. Mega Powers is the station on the radio. Every single Monday night, there's a Raw post show. You count the times, Brian's nose is clear. Hope you like the word however, because that's all you're going to hear.
Oh! Oh!
You are so fucking white.
Oh, ooh, B-Rabbit, he's killing it. He's killing it. Rip it, Mango, rip it.
How long did you spend on that, you sad fuck?
I think about like 3.5 minutes. I got stuck on the next part, so that's why I didn't do that.
That was good.
Was good.